Let us pray. Oh God, it's your word that we gather around. So send your spirit to open our hearts and our minds to receive your word with joy, so that we might live as your people in the midst of the world you love. Through Jesus Christ, your word made flesh, our Lord and our Redeemer. Amen. Let me invite you now to hear these words from Paul's letter to the Colossians. And as we listen together today, let's listen for the word of God. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the holy and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ at Colossae, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints, the faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, in the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great patience and endurance, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son that He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The word of the Lord. Well, at some point this week, I decided to make this sermon a letter of sorts, not unlike Paul's letter to the Colossians. And while I'm under no illusion that this letter will rise to biblical standards, I do hope that you will receive this pastoral letter with the same love with which it has been written, and that together we might understand something more about Paul's letter to the Colossians and what it's about. And so I offer you this letter from your pastor's heart. To the saints and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ in Massanutten, grace to you and peace from God our Father. Last week's celebration of your 150 years of ministry as a congregation gathered at this crossroads filled me with joy. You could feel the energy in the parking lot, and it radiated throughout every inch of this building during the scavenger hunt. And as people enjoyed the simple conversations with each other, conversations marked by excitement and joy. And the music. Your music made this sanctuary ring, filled this place with joy. And as I watched you sit together at table for the celebration meal, well, the Lord was made known there in the breaking of bread. And I was filled with such love for you. And maybe it's wrong, forgive me if so, but I also had a sense of tremendous pride. I was so proud of you, proud of the ways God's story has lived through your hands in the past and still does today. In just a couple of weeks, I will begin my 15th year as your pastor here, and that's got me to thinking not only about our past, but also our future, or rather God's future for our congregation's life together. And whenever I remember you in my prayers, I do so with a heart of thanksgiving. It didn't take me long when I arrived here to discover that the descriptive phrase couldn't be more apt, the one that I heard you say about yourselves. You are a people who live at the place where real life and abundant grace meet. You know it as well as I do. Real life comes to us unbidden, bringing with it its own measure of joy and sorrow. And while there have been amazing moments of overwhelming joy, more often my mind returns to those raw times that we have spent together, when someone we loved was sick or died or was suffering in some way. I especially now think of the overwhelming pall hanging over our family, my family, as we continue to endure a journey that seems to have no end. And you need to know that your prayers and your notes and your understanding bear us up, transforming real life with abundant and sustaining grace. And I've seen you do that for one another as well. When a child or grandchild has been deployed, when the test results came back with a terrible diagnosis, when someone died unexpectedly, when a child just needed to be loved. In all of these times and more, your prayers and your tenacious faith in God's ability to bring life even in the midst of death, to transform every moment with grace, have sustained others in our common journey. Every time I remember you before God, I give thanks for you and for the simple yet dramatic ways that God's abundant grace flows through you in the midst of real life. But I've also come to rejoice at something else that marks your life together. In fact, the best phrase to describe it jumps off the page from Paul's letter to the Colossians. When he writes that phrase, that he has heard of the love that you have for all the saints. And I have found this to be true in you as well. But I have been here long enough and have heard more than enough stories to know that this hasn't always been the case. Like so many other congregations, there are moments in congregational life when tensions spring up, like they did here when you decided whether or not to build a new sanctuary or what the sanctuary should be like, the loss of a pastor during a transition time, the long interim without pastoral leadership at a time when denominational and political tensions were deepening. Throw in a couple of murky decisions and uncertain finances, and it's easy to see why your love for each other was tested in those days. And yet, when I look at you now, what I see are people who are doing their best to love one another, to grow in their love for one another. But to be honest, there are things in recent years, very recent years, that have tested that love. I'm thinking of the ways that a pastor being here 14 years, surely the ways I have disappointed you by not being there or by underestimating your pain. or by simply not taking the time to listen to your heart speak to mine. And I'm thinking of the ways I've disappointed myself concerning you. Because the truth is, I have let my love for you keep me from saying some things that I know will be difficult for you to hear. And there's just the fear that has been all too apparent in recent months that when people hear things they don't want to hear, well, they're more likely to just slip off or stomp away than to pull up a chair and talk. And you know this. We are nowhere near the end of things that will test our love for one another in this congregation. So is your love for one another large enough to engage in open and honest conversation about things such as the war on terror, which seems unending? Will you stay with one another with the simmering racial tensions that plague our nation? What will we say and do in the face of a nuclear war with North Korea? Or with the conversations that must happen in our country in the wake of what happened in Las Vegas this week? And since the General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church will meet in the summer of 2018, I wonder whether you will be able to trust one another, to believe the best about one another, when some of you will praise and others of you object to actions they will take about things we don't even know about yet. You see, now is the time to make decisions about those sorts of things. And so I ask you to do what I've asked you to do before, to outdo one another in showing honor as these things come before us, and that your love for all the saints, would remain steadfast. And I ask this of you for the sake of love itself, but also because I am rejoicing in the fruit that your ministry is producing. Just as the gospel has been growing and bearing fruit in the whole world, so it has been bearing fruit among you. I have seen it in the lives of our children who listen to Pastor Ann down here, or who come dancing out of our summer smarts camp with a song in their hearts and the love of God in their mouths. Our youth bounding with energy at their gatherings on Sunday night. I've seen it. I've seen it in the faces of those telling stories about what they did on their mission trip to West Virginia last summer. I've seen it at the bedside of a member whose death is near, as that one has been carried by the love present around her. I have seen the fruits of your ministry not only in your own lives, which is real enough, but in countless other places where your faithful efforts have been blessed by God and where the gospel of Jesus Christ has been made known. And that's why I want your love for one another to grow stronger, so that your ministry may bear fruit. And so I continue to pray for you that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will. And while I am thankful that so many of you want to see your children or your grandchildren to see that they're getting the instruction that they need to grow in the life of the faith, I have to say I long for the day when that same hunger for growth in the faith marks each of your lives. In fact, I pray to God about this more than just about any other thing. Because you see, all that you are doing for your children will mean little if you do not see, if they do not see in your own life the marks of your continued growth in the gospel. Because whether you intend it or not, by not engaging in worship or study, you are communicating that there will come a time when they don't need to either. That's why my prayers to God constantly ask God to deepen in each of us our desire to learn more about the ways of the gospel, to grow in faith and hope and in love. Because there is never a time when you can stop growing in your faith. As we say so often here, we are a people on a journey together, and that journey will lead us deeper into the ways of the kingdom as we continue to study and to grow. And I also ask God to enable you to lead lives that are worthy of the Lord. And that is no easy thing today. You are pulled by so many voices. And it's easy to believe that you are less than the beloved child of God that you are. What God wants from you and from me is a life dedicated to embodying the self-giving love that we see in Jesus, whose single-minded desire was to live in complete relationship to God and to offer himself to neighbor. And so I ask God for that for you today, that you would be undivided in your pursuit of the way of Jesus, and that your life would show that you belong to the God who loves you. And then I most often close my prayers with an echo of what Paul wrote to the Colossians. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power. And may you be prepared to endure everything with patience while joyfully giving thanks to God. And while that may seem a throwaway ending, you need to know that it's not. If we are mixed up about anything in our world today, it is about strength and endurance and thanksgiving. That final petition, that you be made strong, that you endure everything with patience, that you joyfully give thanks, that summarizes everything that God has done for you in baptism. God has joined you to the saints in light. God has rescued you from the power of darkness. God has transformed you in the kingdom of his Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in remembering these things, in remembering what God has done. It's in taking these truths so deep into your being that the gospel becomes your consuming passion, that you will begin to pour out yourself in every way. From extravagant giving to faithful teaching, from risky welcome to sacrificial service, from a closed off and shielded life to one open to the ways that abundant grace makes life more real than you ever could have imagined. And so, my dear sisters and brothers of Massanutten Presbyterian Church, I give God thanks each time I remember you, and I will keep you in my prayers, that our faithful God would bring us each to the fullness of life that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. May you grow in your faith now and evermore. And I offer you these thoughts with great joy and overwhelming love for you. Well, as God's people here, let's stand together now to say what we believe. Christ calls us to live in the presence of God. Jesus lived with a constant sense of his Father's presence. He put God's claim on his life above all else. He joined others in God's worship and praise. He drew strength from the scriptures. He prayed and taught his disciples to pray. We believe Christ gives us and demands of us personal lives that are centered in God and open to God's reality and rule. Christ teaches us to put obedience to God above the interests of self family, race, or nation, to offer God joyously our money, ability,